Dave and I have the privilege of reading the Bible for us today. Yes, I do have my Father's Day socks on. Got my new Star Wars socks, someone just pointed out. So we are in John 11, and we're reading from 1 to 44, continuing on in our series in John. So John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
You've probably heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not. They're a collection of stories. They have books and museums that always leave you with the same question at the end, believe it or not. And let me read one of their stories to you because it is simply unbelievable. In Ripley's Believe It or Not, you can read about the World Tow Championships. That's right, the World Tow Championships. It was started in 1974. And to be honest, when I first thought and read about this, I thought only in America. But it turns out it was actually in the United Kingdom. So the English were so devastated they didn't have a world champion, they couldn't help but start this tournament. And I mean, think about it. The English came so close in the Women's World Cup this year, losing to Spain in the final. The Men's Rugby World Cup starts shortly on the 8th of September. In 2019, they beat the All Blacks in the semi-final, went through and progressed to the final of the World Cup and then lost to South Africa. So in England, if you can't beat them, make up a new sport. And so for the best part of the last decade, the English champ has been English, and he's an Englishman whose name is Alan Nasty Nash. He's dominated the World Tow Championships, held the title for more than 12 years. Unbelievable, but very true. And we've just read this portion of the life of Jesus, and some of us may be thinking it sounds like a very fanciful story. It sounds like it's straight out of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And yet the author John is adamant the same question from Ripley's needs to stand, do you believe it or not? So we're going to go into this passage and to see if we can find an answer. Now, my Believe It or Not story came this morning. It was about 5 a.m. To go over my manuscript to the office here in East Lismore for the talk from John 11. It was there last night about 8 p.m. and this morning it was gone. No longer there. At that moment, yes, panic, despair, overwhelm. You know, you can go control Z, undo. Trying to reclaim where did it go? Today's talk, therefore, is an edited form of an Easter talk that I gave in the centre of South Australia in 2016. Believe it or not. So let me pray, and then we're going to head into John 11. Father, we do trust your good purposes, and we don't know why they turn out the way that they do. We heard it even in Mirilu's story, unexpected turn of events. But Father, we thank you for your word. We know it doesn't return empty, it does its work, and so please this morning would we trust your voice and grant us ears to listen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you found it hard to believe about what I was saying, the English having a world champion, my manuscript magically disappearing, some of Jesus' mates are finding it hard to believe what Jesus is saying. Because did you see that in verse 11 of chapter 11? Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. We understand the scene. We've got Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus is knocking at death's door, and so they get out the satellite phone and call Jesus in verse 3. Lord, the one you love is sick. And in verse 4, Jesus has a strange response, doesn't he? I think Jesus knows that this isn't a head cold that Lazarus is experiencing. But the weird thing is he leaves it 2 days before he even contemplates heading over to visit Lazarus in ICU. Because he leaves it 2 more days and now it's to the morgue. Was Jesus, did he not want to make the trek? To be fair to Jesus, isn't just jumping in a Land Cruiser and driving down. He would have to do it on foot, but if they did get moving, they could get there before sunset. Verse 3 and 5, though, show us Jesus loved Lazarus. He's emotionally invested in the relationship. And so you expect him to say to his disciples, "Rightio, fellas, it's time to lace up your sandals. We've got a job to do." But he waits. He waits 2 whole days. He waits because he has a job to do. And we see it in verse 14. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Jesus knows this episode is going to get the job done. It's going to help people to believe in him, help them to trust Christ, help them to believe, to see what he says. But it's a little bit dramatic, don't you think? Sit around for a couple of days, your mate's on life support, but now he's actually flatlining and you're glad? Is Jesus for real? Is he glad? I thought he said he loved the guy, but now he's glad that he's dead. And Jesus' mates, the disciples, are asking him, well, he's asking them, will you believe in me? And how can you believe in Christ when you let something like this happen to one you love? What about us, Jesus? If we end up in emergency, what are you going to do? Sit around 2 days longer? Isn't that what Mary and Martha say? Verse 21, Martha, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Mary, verse 32, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Do you not get it, Jesus? Are you not even upset about Lazarus? Do you care that someone is dead? He does, verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And Jesus breaks down and weeps in verse 35. For anyone was confused about whether did Jesus love Lazarus, whether he cared, it's clear now in verse 36. But the thing people can't believe is, why did he wait? Why didn't he come when he was sick? He could have healed him, and now he's dead and it's too late. But it's not. Jesus has a job to do. You see, Jesus is confronted by this death, and twice it says he's deeply moved and he's troubled. And people have likened his response here to that of a horse in the face of great danger, a big storm brewing, and the horse gets unsettled and agitated. And right here, Jesus looks into the eye of this storm and he's unsettled and he's agitated. And in verse 39, he says, take away the stone. And they're like, Jesus, are you mad? Don't open that stone. Don't release it. Don't take on that storm. There is a vapor in there. It'll overcome you. The storm of death stands behind that stone. Jesus, deeply moved and he's troubled, he's about to take on that storm. And they take it away in verse 41. Lazarus, come out! Didn't mean to scare you. But what happens next, isn't it scary? Lazarus comes out, hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, cloth around his face. It's so scary, it looks like a bad 90s film, Return of the Living Dead. But Jesus isn't troubled. He knows the storm is over, verse 44. Take off the grave clothes, let him go. Believe it or not. In Ripley's Believe It or Not, there's a story of a world champion from England. Sounds like a bit of a laugh, but unbelievable, true. Alan Nasty Nash held the world championship title for toe wrestling. And maybe a bigger laugh for you is reading this account in John's Gospel, John 11. Dead people living again. Lazarus living again. John, again, will talk about something like this in chapter 20. Because Jesus is dead on the cross on a Friday and he lives again on a Sunday, believe it or not. You might laugh about it. So that's just not true. And yet there's never anyone laughing at a funeral. Because it's deeply moving and troubling. And that is what Jesus is doing in his death and resurrection. He is unsettled and agitated before the storm of death. And he walks head on into that storm and he feels the full force of the fury as he dies on the cross. And just like Lazarus, he comes out of that tomb. And if you've had anyone die that is close to you, you know it's not a laughing matter. It doesn't feel right. It's unsettling. But you know, that is why Jesus came. He came to this world to remove death. Death was introduced in the first place in our world when we turned away from the life giver. We try to run our world without God who gives life. So we live life in our sinful, self-centered, self-obsessed state. So is there any wonder that death would be the consequence of a life running away from the one who gives life? But at the end of John's gospel, Jesus steps into this storm, this stench of death, feels the fury for the penalty of our sin on the cross, and he comes out alive. Do you believe it? Seriously. A friend of mine, Carmelina, went to visit her cousin in hospital who had terminal cancer. She believed her cousin wouldn't want to hear anything about Jesus, but she knew the hope of Christ. She knew that Christ had said he would die for us, our sin, shame, guilt, that he would rise beating death. So Carmelita asked the question, do you want to know about Jesus? She expected a cousin to laugh in her face. She couldn't believe it, but a cousin said yes. Carmelina said to her, do you want to pray, saying sorry to God that you've walked away from him? Thank him that Jesus took the penalty that you deserved on the cross and rejoice that Jesus rose again, beating death, and offers that same hope to you today. At that point, Carmelita's cousin's partner was in the room and he was not laughing. He stood up and he stormed out of the room. He couldn't believe she was saying this to his dying partner. How dare she talk about Jesus to her at this stage in her life? Didn't she realize she was dying? She knew she was dying. And so she believed in the one who could deal with her sin and take on the fury of death that she was about to face because of her cancer. So for the next 3 months of her life before she died, she came to believe in the one who offered life to her, an unbelievable invitation to live, even though she died. In John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, we want to thank you that your son took on the storm of death and he came out facing the fury of your anger on the cross. But he came out of that tomb alive. Father, we are sorry for the ways we do not believe. We find it hard to believe you made us, hard to believe what you say to us, and even harder to believe we have a problem before you. So please today help us to believe that apart from you, the life giver, our only future is death. Help us to believe Jesus' words, if we believe in him, we will live even though we die. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.